Did you hear it? A Hamas leader says, we're not leading our people on the path to destruction. We're leading them on the path to death. What?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am back from the Philippines, friends. Traveled round trip, 75 plus hours, was there to minister something like 57 hours, basically passed myself in the air, going and coming, but thrilled to be back here with you. A lot to report about today, and in particular, we want to continue to zero in what's happening, not just in the Middle East, but what's happening around the world, the different responses to Israel's battle with Hamas. And I want to appeal to all of you to be praying for the Muslim nations, to be praying for the Palestinians who are overwhelmingly Muslim, to be praying for the victims of Hamas. I don't mean even now primarily Israelis who have to deal with bomb attacks from Hamas day and night, but for the people of Gaza living under Hamas rule. Now, I know they voted for Hamas. The fact of the matter is they are also victims of Hamas. Michael Brown, great to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I've got a question for you. Before I talk to you about this quote from Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Zuhri that he apparently a Freudian slip that he made while being interviewed on Hamas al-Aqsa TV on Sunday. Before I get into that with you, just want to ask you a question, and you can weigh in on this. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, and then repeat it once more in the book of Genesis, first with Abraham, then with Isaac, God says to Abram, that I will bless those who bless you, and those who revile you I will curse. Now, do you believe that still applies to Israel today, the modern state of Israel? Do you believe that the promise that was given to Abram about his seed, when God said, I'll bless those who bless you, speaking of Abram and his descendants, and those who revile you I will curse, do you believe that can be applied directly to Israel and America's treatment of Israel and other nations' treatment of Israel? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me take that one step further. Do you believe that America's well-being and America's future is dependent on some level of how America treats Israel? Now, I'm not just asking a general righteousness question. In other words, how we treat all nations. But do you believe that America could be blessed or cursed on some level based on how it treats Israel, especially because of what God said in Genesis 12, I'll bless those who bless you, those who curse you, or those who revile you, I will curse. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm happy to hear from you on either side of that, either side theologically, either side politically. A big question in the Middle East is why in the world does Hamas want war? Why in the world does Hamas want war? They know for a fact they cannot defeat Israel militarily. Is it just to rally other Muslims and other Muslim nations around their cause? Is it to rally their people around their cause? Is it to win in the poll of public opinion and therefore make Israel look bad? This is something that's being discussed. What provokes Hamas to provoke a confrontation? Well, Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Zuhri was on Al-Aqsa TV. This is Hamas's Al-Aqsa TV. And this is what he said. This is something the people should hear. We aren't leading our people today to destruction. We are leading our people to death. And then he corrected himself to say, I mean, to confrontation with the occupier. What a tragic Freudian slip. And their protests against the Jewish people, against Israel, and places like Paris, Germany, and Manila.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to thank the many world leaders, including yourself, who have unequivocally condemned Hamas for its rocket fires on Israeli cities and for the clear-cut support for Israel's right of self-defense.
That was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking to the press while speaking with the German foreign minister. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's my question for you. Do you believe that Genesis 12:3, where God says, I'll bless those who bless you, speaking to Abram and his seed, I'll bless those who bless you, those who revile you, I will curse? Does that still apply to Israel, to the Jewish people today? What about the larger question of America and Israel, or the more specific question, I could say? If that verse still applies, does that mean that God will bless America, have mercy on America, if America stands with Israel, and if America turns its back on Israel, that God will severely judge America? How many of you believe that? That if we were to turn our back on Israel, if we were to side with the nations that want to destroy Israel, that would bring severe judgment on America, and that as much as America is so full of sin and injustice and violence and materialism and greed and sexual addictions and on, as much as that's the case, that God still has mercy on us because we stand with Israel. What do you think about that? 866-34-TRUTH, and I'm happy to hear from you theologically and or politically, and I'm happy to have your agreement or your disagreement with that question or with that thesis. If I say agreement, I just gave you a question. I'll weigh in with my thoughts on that, but I think you probably know where I stand. All right. I do have some neat highlights from the Philippines, and I'll get to those in a little while. If you haven't been to my Facebook page, you will see a great video. This is Ask Dr. Brown, ASKDR Brown on Facebook. You will see a great video. It was after the last meeting with our missions team in the Philippines. The leaders wanted to pray for me, so I got down on my knees. There were kids there that wanted to pray. Next thing, I got surrounded, and you'll see I'm swarmed with little children who are praying over me. That was one of the highlights, to see God moving among the kids, the kids of the missionaries in the Philippines and from other nations that were there with us. Also, I posted a picture of a boy. He looks like a little kid. If you saw him in somebody's arms, you'd think, you know, he's a toddler. Well, he's 5 years old. He's in the arms of one of our missionaries. His family took this boy in. Missionary family took him in. They found him on the garbage dump. People live in these garbage dumps and forage for food there. He was sitting naked in the dirt. He was eating rocks and dirt just to survive. I mean, that's how hungry he was. Obviously, he can't survive eating that. When they took him in, his body was filled with worms. That's why he is so tiny. I posted a great picture of this kid who is now full of life and thriving. And let's just see. Whoa, it's been liked on the Facebook page almost 5,000 times. So make sure you visit there. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And thanks for your partnership this week. Just on the Facebook page, we were able to reach more than 4.5 million people. That means I'll post a quote or an image, and then you'll share it, and then your friends will see it, and they'll share it. I'll write an article. If you've seen my latest article, I now pronounce you spouse and spouse. Yes, California law, signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown, saying that, you know, terms husband, wife, which some say are antiquated and discriminatory, can just be replaced now in legal documents in California with spouse and spouse, and this will avoid confusion. Avoid confusion. Yeah. All right. So if you missed that latest article, just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article. But make sure you check out some of the images, some of the videos, and pictures on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Before I go to your calls and discuss this issue about America's treatment of Israel, or God blessing those who bless and reviling those and cursing those who revile Israel, Consider this. Hamas, unprovoked, starts launching rockets at Israel again last month. Then kidnaps and murders in cold blood three Israeli teenagers. This is the provocation. And then steps it up with more bombs. Well, Israel atrociously, some Jews atrociously kidnap and murder in cold blood a Palestinian boy. Now, let's recognize this. This was not done by the government. This was, and the killers, the apparent killers, were already apprehended, whereas the murderers of the Israeli boys, the Hamas murderers, have still not been apprehended. And this has brought horror throughout the Jewish world and complete renunciation of that. Whereas Hamas's actions are cheered on by Muslim radicals. Cheered on. So now Hamas begins attacking. Well, Israel has the Iron Dome defense system. And the Iron Dome defense system is able to calculate, because the Hamas rockets, not equipped with GPS, but they can reach into parts of Israel that couldn't before. So bombs falling in Jerusalem, bombs falling in Tel Aviv and other parts of Israel that before were not, Hamas could not reach. And then bombs coming in via Lebanon from Hezbollah. So you're talking about Israel surrounded by radical Muslims, and 70% of the people of Israel are living within range of Hamas. So the Israeli Defense Force put out this graphic. I posted it on Facebook that this is the same as 224 million Americans being within range of terrorist rockets. 224 million Americans, 70% of the population. We've got rockets raining down on us. What are we going to do? Well, the Iron Dome defense can calculate if the Hamas rockets are going to go towards a civilian population, which is what Hamas is aiming for, whether it's going to go towards a civilian population or whether it's going to just land out in a field or something. If it's going to land in the field, they don't try to take it down. Otherwise, Iron Dome tries to shoot it out of the air. Well, it's been very effective. It's been very effective. And because of that, that's frustrated Hamas further. Now, you have to understand this. Israel has the power to completely wipe out Gaza, completely wipe out the 1 million plus people that live there if it wanted to. And as what Hamas does is they use people's homes, they use hospitals, they use schools. This is not myth. This is known. This is commonly known. They use these places so that civilians are human shield. Israel has called off hundreds of bombing raids, because it would unnecessarily take the lives of civilians. Israel said, look, we are coming in your area. They hand out leaflets. They drop leaflets from the planes. We are coming into your area. Evacuate, evacuate, evacuate. And thousands of civilians have evacuated. But Hamas is saying, no, stay, stay. And stand together. Why? As human shields. This is horrific and inhuman. Even some Palestinian leaders have said what Hamas is doing is a crime against humanity, targeting civilians. Israel, yes, there have been casualties. There have been civilian casualties. That is 100% the responsibility of Hamas that provoked the confrontation, and not only provoked the confrontation, but uses its own civilians as human shields. Joey, let's play clips number 4 and 5. A whole lot more to share with you. Then I want to go to the phones. But the thing to me that is so ridiculous and immoral is to paint Israel as the evil one here and Hamas as the victim. Well, you know what it's like? It's like someone breaks into your home and all that they have is steak knives and butter knives and baseball bats, and they break into your home with the intent of murdering you and your family. And you happen to be a policeman, and you've got your gun handy. And when they break in with their butter knives and steak knives, they break in. All right, Joey, we'll get to the clips on the other side, the break. They break in with their butter knives, steak knives, forks, baseball bats, to murder you and your family in cold blood. You and your spouse and your kids in cold blood, they break in. And you happen to be a police officer and you happen to have a gun by the bedside. And as they break in and they've already stabbed the first member of your family and you're screaming in the next room, you're able to shoot them dead. Yeah, but you had the weaponry over them. You had much, much better weaponry. So it's really not fair because they weren't armed. No. They're trying to murder you while you sleep. There is a difference. And thank God you had better weaponry to stop them. Whole lot to talk about today. And the more I look at this, the more my heart breaks for the Palestinians. The more my heart goes out to them. The more we need to pray for them to be delivered from both Islam and Hamas in Gaza. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are jammed. We will get to your calls shortly.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're targeting the Rocketeers. The Rocketeers are firing from homes. These homes are actually command posts of the Hamas and Islamic Jihad army. So that's where they have their secure communications, weapon caches, rockets, hidden map rooms, and so on. These are their command posts. Obviously, we're not going to give them immunity, and so we have to attack them, and we try to minimize as we can civilian casualties.
Right. That's the predicament that Hamas has created. And this is not the first. This has been a long-term strategy used for many, many years by Islamic radicals who hate Israel and want to destroy the Jewish people. And make no mistake about it, friends. This is Michael Brown, back live from the Philippines and about to go to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Make no mistake about it. Protests, for example, in France, Muslim protests where a synagogue came under siege. Think about it, you live in France, and next thing there is an angry Muslim mob attacking the synagogue. And thankfully, Jewish defenders there and others were able to help defend, but you're talking about a scene that could have been absolutely horrific. And then protests in Germany, even protests. I just got back from the Philippines in Manila. As if Israel is intentionally committing atrocities against the Palestinians living in Gaza under Hamas, whereas the suffering is due to Hamas. And if Hamas and Palestinian leadership in general was civil towards Israel, the just quality of life would increase massively in Gaza and in Judea and in Samaria. But make no mistake about it. As protesters are screaming their angry rage against Israel, they're saying things like, you know, Jews go back to the ovens. In other words, you cannot separate this from larger anti-Semitism. One more clip number five. Prime Minister Netanyahu, again, addressing the issue of what Israel faces with its war with Hamas.
When we began this interview, we were under bomb alert. And as the minutes passed, now we are being told that people can go out into the open air again. This is the kind of reality we're living in, Bob. And we'll do, as I said, whatever is necessary to put an end to this.
Yeah, so that it was Prime Minister Netanyahu in an interview that aired in the last, 48 hours as I've been coming back from the Philippines trying to figure out time zone, 12-hour difference. So right now it's 2:22 in the morning Filipino time. 866-34-TRUTH. Does the ancient word to Abram still apply today? I'll bless those who bless you, those who revile you. I'll curse. Does it still apply to Israel? Does God bless America or treat America with kindness, undeserved kindness, because America still stands on some level with Israel? If America didn't stand with Israel, would that bring us into real trouble in God's sight? Curious to get your feedback. We'll start in Charlotte, North Carolina. Maria, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for answering. God bless you. Okay, I have a very important comment on you. My English is a little, it has a little accent.
No, go ahead. Just speak, and we'll follow you. Go ahead.
Hugo, I have a big example of God promise. Hugo Chavez, he said literally, he cursed from all his entrails, from his body to Israel. And he got cancer on his entrails. He died. So for me, that's very, very, it's a big sign that that intestines and entrails or intestines, but he got cancer on over there. So
all right, got it. All clear, Maria. So you feel that there was a very specific judgment on this man for those sentiments. Hey, thank you for calling in, and thank you for not being worried about a heavy accent so you can communicate. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia. Richard, welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your opinion?
Dr. Brown.
Yes, go ahead.
Let me tell you my opinion. In my opinion, the verse still applies, but it doesn't just apply to Israel. It applies to all Jewish people in the entire world. So while it certainly behooves us to behave ourselves and befriend the Jewish people in Israel, but the same is true for our Jewish friends and neighbors, not only here in the United States, but around the world, because those are the true descendants or seed of Abraham. Okay?
Got it.
So I strongly believe that. And the second point, I very strongly believe, obviously, clearly, we need to be the staunchest of staunchest allies for Israel. They're just amazing country, amazing people. But we know from Scripture who the Jewish people are, and that matters. If you don't mind, I'm going to throw in something. One of the many reasons God has blessed America is we have been a haven for Jewish people.
Got it. All right. Yeah, Richard, I appreciate you weighing in on that. Thank you, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll probably be writing more about the conflict with Hamas and world perceptions of Israel. So much happening in the news, and I'm so blessed and thankful to God to have this outlet to speak to on the radio, and then to write and communicate in so many different ways. And again, thank you for being part of our team, sharing the radio broadcast with others, praying for us. Listen, I had about 75 hours of travel in the last few days, and then was in the Philippines to minister about 57 hours, so more travel time than ministry time, 12-hour time shift, and I'm here alive and well after arriving back from the Philippines early last evening. So thank you for praying. Thank you for being part of our support team. We're with one of our missionaries, Alice. She's in her 60s. She was a former hairdresser. She lives in Tanzania in Africa now. She needs surgery, either hip replacement or something, so she has to walk with a cane, and yet she's been going for it nonstop. And God gave her a burden for prostitutes in Tanzania. So they had a banquet for the prostitutes. They invited them to come to a banquet and reached out to them. And so many women came and were touched and received the love of God that now they have a home. They've had to bring it out of the main city because of death threats and people coming back after them and wanting them, the pimps or whoever. But they now have a home, as we were just with our missionaries. We did this retreat in the Philippines, in case you don't know that. For 10 or 11 of these women, and there are more and more that want to come, and they've given their lives to the Lord, and they're following Jesus. They want to be discipled, and this is the type of stuff our folks are doing. So while we're on the front lines of so many cutting-edge societal issues, we're out there doing it. And friends, special offer, my book, Hyper Grace. We got a very large purchase from a distributor that knocked our costs down. It's a 300-plus page book that is really impacting people. It's for grace lovers, and it'll open your eyes. With postage, it's over $20 value, but it's yours today for your gift of any size. So call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us, Michael Brown, back from the Philippines. Thanks for your prayer support. For those of you who've done overseas travel, you've got time change, you've got time zone issues, you've got jet lag and all of that. So I'm very appreciative of your prayers. We've had a very rigorous schedule. Hopefully you enjoyed our interviews with our missionaries. If you missed any of those, just go to AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.org, and click on Latest Audio. Still talking about Hamas, Israel, talking about public opinion. Thus far, Hamas has not had the overwhelming public support that it's often had when Israel has been immediately cast as the evil villain picking on poor little Hamas. Perhaps it's because we're seeing more and more worldwide the rise of radical Islam and realizing how butcherous and horrific that it is. ISIS-type groups and Al-Qaeda and Taliban, on and on. We realize that Hamas is part of that type of mindset and mentality. Perhaps that's part of Hamas's PR problem today. Perhaps another issue is the not just the unprovoked bombing, but the cold-blooded kidnap and murder of three Israeli teenagers. And that has turned sentiment. You said, yeah, but then Israelis went and they kidnapped and murdered a Palestinian. Yes, absolutely horrific, atrocious. Those, the alleged killers, kidnappers, have already been apprehended. There's national outrage over it. And this was not government-sponsored, whereas from what we know, this was a Hamas operation to kidnap and murder the three Israeli teens. And it's been celebrated rather than renounced. There is even Palestinian leadership that is standing against Hamas. Now, I want to get to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Our phone lines have been jammed since I asked the question, and I want to get to as many of your calls as I can in the next couple of segments. My question, in case you missed it, was, does the verse in Genesis 12, then repeat it once more in Genesis, where God says to Abraham of his seed, I'll bless those who bless you, and those who revile you, I will curse. Does that apply to the Jewish people worldwide today still, to Israel as a nation? And does God deal with America based on our dealings with Israel? Obviously not the only issue. But does God still have mercy on America in the midst of our sin and unrighteousness and guilt in so many ways? Does God still have mercy on us because of our standing with Israel and the Jewish people on a certain level? Joey, let's go to clip number 9. I've just got time to play this. This is the Press TV host. This is Iranian National TV talking to Press TV Gaza correspondent 3 days ago. Clip number 9.
Let's cross over to Gaza and speak to our correspondent, Hala Al-Safadi. Hala, last time we spoke to you, the Gaza Strip was still being pounded right behind you. Tell us a bit more about what the situation is like right now.
Well, the last 15 minutes were very intense. We've been hearing explosions all over the Gaza Strip. There were 3 explosions in Gaza City. One targeted a house, and there are some reports about injuries. Another one just took place right now in North Gaza. 2 houses were attacked, and there's news that a girl, 1.5-year-old girl, was injured along with her dad. And earlier, there was also an attack on the National Bank, and this is confirmed right now. There were about more than The total of the houses demolished so far are 196, with the latest 3 or 4 houses that were demolished like 15 minutes ago. Also, there's the Salah Benevolent Society was also targeted 15 minutes ago. More than 15 minutes ago. This raises the death toll to over 125, with 900 people. Over 900 people are actually injured.
It's tragic. It's terrible. And it is 100% the fault of Hamas. None of this would be happening. Not a bomb would be dropped if not for what Hamas has provoked.
It's the light. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Right, this is Hamas TV. The song in Hebrew rather than Arabic. Annihilate all the Zionists. Exterminate the cockroach's nest. Lyrics go on. Attack. Carry out bombing. Shock them. Annihilate all the Zionists. Rock Israel's security. Strive to engage the Zionists in combat. That's why I pity the people living under Hamas's rule in Gaza. And yes, I know that was the elected government, and now the unity government, how long that will actually go on with Palestinian Authority. But my heart goes out to those who are enslaved in Islam and enslaved under Hamas. And yes, there are choices being made and people are responsible. Nonetheless, most people there do not really know the truth, don't really know the whole story, getting such slanted media coverage. Now Israel bombing them, obvious, it's easy to make Israel out to be the evil one in the midst of this. 866-34-TRUTH. Going back to the phones momentarily. So Israel sends out word, drops leaflets. We're going to be coming into your neighborhoods. We are going to be rooting out Hamas from their strongholds. They're using schools. They're using hospitals. They're using your homes as command points for action and storing rockets there. We're coming in. Evacuate. We don't want to hurt you. Evacuate. What does Hamas do? They tell their people to return to their homes and act as human shields. Someone, a Palestinian Arab girl, even posted, or young woman, posted on my Facebook page saying Hamas is not calling on anyone or ordering anyone to be human shields. They are gladly giving their lives for Hamas. Long live Palestine. What a mentality of death. This was July 13th. Hamas's Ministry of Interior spokesman, Iyad al-Buzu, quote, answering the occupation, meaning Israel's calls, will merely aid it in carrying out its plans to weaken the Palestinian home front and to destroy property and homes as soon as you leave them. We call on all our people who have left their homes to return to them immediately. Israel's saying, get out. We don't want to hurt you. Hamas is saying, come back. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. John, well, let's go to Brenda. Reverend Tom in Boston, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
I first want to just compliment you on your scholarship. I think you're one of the foremost theologians today. I'm a minister. I've been a minister now for about 50 years, but I would never put myself on the same plane, I think, that you are. And I just want to thank you for all the great work that you do. And I do want to address your question that you had earlier today about Genesis 12:3.
Yes, sir.
And that said, I do believe that the promise to Abraham does apply to us today. And I don't think that we can take really any of the promises of God that I can think of off the top of my head and say that they only applied to certain people at a certain time and that they no longer apply today, then we would have to, logically then go to the writings of Paul and some of the all the writings of the New Testament and start taking apart those promises that we have there and say, well, they no longer apply because they were speaking to a specific group at that time. But I think that the promise does apply to people that do want to bless Israel today, that they would be blessed in kind. And I agree with your earlier caller, Richard, who felt that that applied to Jews worldwide, and I certainly do believe that.
Got it. All right. Yeah. And first, thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate that. And We are all students seeking to grow in our understanding of God and His Word. But I think you make an important point, which is when people just try to dismiss something as ancient, when people try to say, well, that was just for back then, well, then why do we just take what Paul wrote to the Corinthians and apply it to ourselves? Exactly. Why do we take what Jesus said to His disciples and apply it to ourselves? So obviously we have to have certain hermeneutical or interpretive principles by which we read the Word and understand how this does apply. The big question someone would raise with regard to Genesis 12, when God says, I'll bless those who bless you and those who revile you, I'll curse. And speaking of Abram and his seed, then who is the seed of Abraham? Is it spiritual seed? And now referring to all believers, Jew and Gentile in Jesus, is it referring to the nation of Israel because of the chosenness, Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob? And a good principle to look at is this is repeated. Those who curse you will be cursed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Genesis 27, this is Isaac pronouncing the same blessing over Jacob. So we have it now, Abraham, now through Isaac, now Jacob. And then we have Balaam later trying to curse Israel, and God won't let him because Israel is blessed. So that now gives us some guidelines to see it used on a national level. And it's not because of Israel being perfect. Again, thank you for the call, Tom. I appreciate it. It's not because of Israel being perfect. The Israelis are guilty of sin. The nation is guilty of sin. Every nation on the earth is flawed and corrupt in many ways. Israel, although it distinguishes itself from its Muslim neighbors in many ways, although in its conduct during war, it distinguishes itself from its Muslim neighbors in many ways, and even from other nations in many ways, is still a flawed, sinning nation needing the mercy of God. That does not mean that the covenant promises don't stand. And followers of Jesus, of all people, should be the ones who, in particular, recognize that. Why? Because God deals with us based on mercy and not based on if you had a good day, you were God's child, and if you had a bad day, you're not. Oh, yes, there are consequences to a sin. We can't turn away from the Lord. But God deals with the church based on mercy and grace. Well, what kind of covenant do you think He made ultimately with Abraham? It wasn't based on performance, and if you're good enough, you'll still be my people. No, God tells Moses in Deuteronomy 7, it wasn't because you're better or big or anything. It was just because of God's love for the patriarchs. So yes, you can point to sins committed by the Jewish people and say, well, how could God still be with them? Because of His promise. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, feel free and differ with me. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind you differing with me on an interpretive level. That's fine. 866-34-TRUTH. Kathleen in Red Bank, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. I'd like to make a comment. Basically, I do believe that God is going to bless America if we support Israel, but I think it goes far beyond that. And the reason why I say that is because, in my opinion, the church is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be standing up for righteousness, and we are not doing that. We are supposed to be putting on the full armor of God, and we are not doing that, because if we were, we would be victorious instead of victims. We would be conquerors instead of, you know, allowing sin to take over our lives and making excuses for it and saying, Satan is the one who's making me do these things. And I say that because it is the church that decides the fate of America. It is the church that decides the fate of the world. And when you look at Revelations 1 through 6, and Ephesians 6, wherever it talks about the armor of God, 10 through 20, I think, or 21, it speaks of that when you really delve into the Greek concordance. And this is when my life changed, because I realized when I surrender everything to God and I put on the full armor of God, that I am not the one who can make excuses for, you know, whatever sins are in my life, because I am ultimately in control, because God has made me a king and priest of the living God. And this is the problem with the church today, is we're making too many excuses, and there's no difference between the church and the rest of the world, and that's why we're not reaching the lost.
Just to jump in, Kathleen, because I've got a break. First, thank you for your passion and your commitment and your wake-up call to us. Come on, friends. We're not talking about taking over the society and making everyone submit to us. We're talking about walking as the people of God, not being enslaved to the world, standing against the tide of the age, standing for righteousness. Yeah, it goes beyond the question of Israel. It's much bigger. Thank you, Kathleen, for that reminder. Whole lot more coming your way. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you. But I'm feeling just that lag, that jet lag hit a little bit, and then I get kind of revived. But doing radio keeps me sharp and vibrant. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me take a minute and try to explain why I believe that the promise in Genesis 12 given to Abram can still be applied to Israel and the Jewish people today. Let me give you my logic for this, all right? And I want you to chew on this. Some of you just immediately say, yeah, of course, God blesses those who bless Israel, curses those who curse Israel. And it's kind of a just immediate, that's what you've always been taught. Others say, what's that word given to Abram back then got to do with modern Israel today? It's unrelated. So let's think it through together, all right? And then I want to share just a couple more encouraging words of some things that happened in the Philippines while I was away. God calls Abram, and he gives a word to him and his seed, his offspring. Now, he was not talking about Jesus here. He's talking about offspring, plural, and he's talking about, and that's reiterated often in Genesis when Paul says that he's talking about the seed, the offspring of Abraham, meaning one. Paul's actually giving kind of a homiletical application to make a point, because seed is a collective plural as it's being used, and Paul is making a homiletical point applying it to Jesus, and that's what he lays out in Galatians 3. So Genesis 12, God says to Abram, I'll bless those who bless you, and those who revile you or curse, I will curse. All right? Now, and then through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So that applies to the people of Israel, and then specifically through whom? Through Jesus, the Messiah. Now, it's reiterated in Genesis 27. Isaac says it to Jacob. So now we've got the link Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. Now let's take it over to the nation of Israel as a whole. And this is Israel in the wilderness. Now remember, this whole generation dies in the wilderness, aside from Joshua and Caleb. Those are the only ones who make it into the promised land. So it was not some perfectly righteous generation that came out of Egypt, correct? Within days of the Sinai covenant being given, or God speaking from Mount Sinai, and Moses receiving the tablets of the law, as he's waiting on Mount Sinai, the people fall into idolatry and immorality. So it was hardly some perfectly righteous people, correct? But there, when Balaam goes to curse Israel, God says to him, don't go, don't curse them, because they're blessed, because they're so perfect, because they're so wonderful, because they're so godly? No, because God made a promise to Abram, and God is determined to bless them and through them to bring blessing to the world. Now, we have this reiterated in, say, Jeremiah chapters 30 and 31, where God says, all those nations where I scattered you, all the nations where I scattered you, I will judge them for the way they treated you. And I'll discipline you, but I won't completely destroy you, but I'll destroy them. That has happened to different nations where the Jewish people were scattered. Look, even Germany, after its atrocities against the Jews, against other peoples as well, but specifically against the Jews in the Holocaust. The nation of Germany took terrible pounding in World War II and then was divided for several decades after that. And it's still in the throes of fully catching up those who are in East Germany and West together and having the fullness of one united nation. So in any case, we see this in an ongoing way in ancient history, not because of Israel's goodness. In fact, why was Israel scattered to the nations? Israel was scattered to the nations because of sin. The people of Judah, the Jewish people, were scattered to the nations because of sin. And yet God said that he would judge nations based on how they judged Israel. And many have made the case, and I am not a modern historian, nor can I comment with authority about Great Britain, but many have said, you know, it used to be said that the sun never sets on the British Empire, and that Great Britain has deteriorated massively from what it was at its greatest point in many, many ways. And many say it goes back directly to how Great Britain treated the Jewish people and the state of Israel in its infancy before it was even officially a state. All right. So, yes, I do believe those verses apply. And I tremble for America when we do not stand rightly with Israel. At the same time, does not mean carte blanche, acceptance of everything Israel does. Does not mean that Israel is sinless. And it does not mean that we do not look for a compassionate solution for the Palestinians. And it remains this, that if the Palestinians would quit with their murderous intents, or Palestinian leadership, or Hamas, whoever you want to identify, with their murderous intent of destroying the Jewish people and wiping out the nation, then Israel could work with the people of Gaza to improve their quality of life massively. Getting back to the Philippines, the most special thing, there were two very, very special things that took place in our retreat time with our missionaries. We had them from Philippines, from China, from Ukraine, from Tanzania, had come together. Not all of our missionaries could be there, but many gathered. Two very special things. One was the Holy Spirit really came in the meetings we had. As different leaders ministered, we had five different leaders there, one couple and three other leaders. As we ministered and worshiped and prayed, the Holy Spirit really visited us. I was personally refreshed. It was a long trip back and forth, a lot of hours travel, a lot of expense involved in doing it. But boy, just to encounter God afresh and be in his presence and be renewed. You say you could do that everywhere. Yeah, but he doesn't always move in that power in that way. That was wonderful. And then seeing the kids. Seeing the kids praying, seeing the kids crying out to God, seeing the kids mightily touched by the Holy Spirit, seeing their hunger and thirst for God. That was awesome to see. And again, if you haven't gone to my Facebook page, go to Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, and just look for the video we posted as the leaders were going to pray for me before I was going to speak that afternoon and evening on Sunday and then start traveling back. I got on my knees so folks could surround me and pray. Next thing, I was surrounded by all these kids. They were the first ones in praying for me. It went on some time, but you could see the beginning of it on our Facebook page. If you did not read my article, I now pronounce you spouse and spouse. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, and click on latest article. Actually, our special resource offer got better. I just found out during a break that not only can you get my book, Hyper Grace. By the way, we brought copies to the Philippines. Filipino leaders told me it is an epidemic problem in their nation now. A message of grace with exaggeration. And pastors were telling me they're watching people that were former leaders in their church now not even walking with God or living in fleshly compromise. The book, Hyper Grace, and my CD, God's True Grace, to really minister and build you up in the beauty and glory of grace. The two resources with postage worth more than $30, yours for your gift of any size. So take advantage of this. We did a special purchase. We have a large quantity on hand. Yours for your gift of any size. Just do whatever the Lord lays on your heart, all right? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the ancient word spoken to Abram and to Jacob still applies today. God will bless those who bless his physical descendants, the Jewish people. And he will curse those who curse them. From anti-Semitic protests in France to bombs dropping in the Middle East and more, we've got you covered today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here again, you bet. Freshly back from the Philippines, about 75 hours of travel, round trip, about 50-something hours of ministry time with our precious team there, and then some public meetings for pastors and the Filipinos in general. Some great time, some great reports to share with you. And I'm looking at a YouTube video. If I played it, it wouldn't help because it'll be in Arabic from Egypt. But I am standing, I'm sitting here looking at a YouTube video on my screen posted by Memory TV. This is Israeli intelligence watching what's being seen on Muslim TV in Iran, in Gaza, and different parts of the Muslim world, Egyptian world, Farsi world. Egyptian TV host slams Hamas. Leaders, we are sick and tired of you. Wow. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I put forth a question in the first hour, and I want to put it forth for your opinion as well. When God says to Abraham, or Abram at that point, Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you I will curse. And then that's reiterated. Isaac speaks it over Jacob in Genesis 27. Does that apply to Israel today or the Jewish people today, that God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who revile Israel? Does that apply to Israel and the Jewish people today? And if it does, what about America? Is God having mercy on America because we are still standing with Israel in many ways, even though the current administration has been weaker in that respect? But is God having mercy on America because of the way we treat Israel? Is that a wrong-headed way to think? Is God pouring out his mercy? Will he, if we turned against Israel, if we, say, join with Iran against Israel or something like that, would God bring judgment on America in a serious way? What do you think? 866-348-7884. Tell you what. Joey, go to clip number 10. This is Iranian State TV, Press TV, commenting on Israel and Hamas, Israel's bombing of Gaza. Clip number 10.
The situation is very dire, a humanitarian catastrophe in the making. Palestinians do not know whether their houses will be targeted, whether once they leave the house, their loved ones will be safe or not.
Exactly. Because Hamas is using its own people as human shields. As the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, posted a graphic saying, Israel uses rockets to protect its people. Hamas uses people to protect its rockets. One more clip from Press TV Gaza, clip number 11.
While he actually showed sympathy with those who are killed on the Israeli side, the three Israeli settlers who already live in illegal settlements in Palestine, in the occupied lands. So we cannot only blame the international community, but we actually blame a person who claims to be a leader of the Palestinians.
Oh, Mahmoud Abbas. She's upset with Mahmoud Abbas because he said it was wrong when the Israeli teenagers were kidnapped and murdered. The fact of the matter is, Muslims, even radical Muslims, and surrounding nations are not united with Hamas this time around, which makes it even more severe, more pitiable. More we need to pray for the people living in Gaza, for the mercy of God to deliver them from both Islam and Hamas. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Blessed to be back from the Philippines. 866-34-TRUTH. What would happen to America? Do you believe that God would judge America? Do you believe that blessing would be withheld from America? Do you believe that our own well-being would be seriously jeopardized if we no longer stood with Israel, if we forcefully turned against Israel? Would it have drastic consequences? On the flip side, conversely, is God still having mercy on us in different ways because of the fact that America remains an ally of Israel, if at times we have put pressure on Israel to do things that were not in Israel's best interest, unless we remain an ally? 866-34-TRUTH. Many years ago, when I started doing more intense international travel and the trips were sometimes shorter, I joked with folks that, say, when you fly to Australia, you lose a day. So you leave on a Tuesday. Time-wise, you arrive on a Wednesday in terms of hours of travel, but it's actually a Thursday. You've lost a day. When you come back, you leave on a Thursday, and time-wise, even though it would be Friday, you actually arrive back on Thursday because you gain a day. So I figured something out. I figured out a travel principle. Now think of this. If you make the trip short enough, right, you lose a day going, you gain a day going back. If you make the trip short enough, you can pass yourself in mid-air. Yeah, I'm just joking, but that's almost what I've done on some trips. All right, I don't want to go there. Just get through my stack of things. All right. Listen to this report. This is, again, Press TV. And PressTV.com, Iranian state news agency. Anti-Israel protest held in the Philippines capital. I was in the Philippines capital. I was in and out of Manila. And, no, Joey, this, I'm just going to share this. Not a clip here. I'm reading this one. Thanks, buddy. I was in Manila. I was not aware of any protests. But here's what it says. People in the Philippines capital have demonstrated against atrocities committed by Israel against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. So this is the way it's being reported. Notice atrocities committed by Israel against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. So let's just get the facts right. Hamas, unprovoked, began to bomb Israel. Hamas, unprovoked, then kidnapped three Israeli teenagers and murdered them in cold blood. This was a Hamas operation. The perpetrators of the crime have still not been found. And then, after that, increased the rocket fire. Oh, there's more. Egypt, as Hamas is getting decimated, Israel does its best to prevent civilian casualties, but Hamas uses its own people as human shields. This has been an old tactic. The PLO did the same thing. It was famous for doing that. It's not an exaggerated picture. I've talked to many who fought in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, and they've talked to me about what they've had to deal with in terms of avoiding civilian casualties. Egypt brokers a ceasefire arrangement. Egypt offers it to Israel. Now, I'd be surprised, looking at this, if I didn't know anything, I'd be surprised if Israel would say yes, because Israel wants to completely break the power of Hamas in Gaza, so it does not have the ability to keep terrorizing its people. So, Egypt offers a ceasefire. You'd think Hamas should take it, and they'll claim victory. What happens? Israel says yes, and Hamas says no. Back to the report. Protesters in the Philippines' capital, Manila, rallied outside the Israeli embassy to condemn what they call the collective punishment of Palestinians. Also in Thailand, people marched towards Israel's embassy in the capital, Bangkok, and burned its flag. Thailand! Similar demonstrations were held in Venezuela's capital on Monday to denounce Israel's attacks against Palestinians and its relentless airstrikes on Gaza. Look, even Palestinian officials have said Hamas is committing war crimes or crimes against humanity. They are targeting Israeli civilians. The fact that Israel's Iron Dome defense system has warded off a lot of the attacks, and the fact that Israel's weaponry is far more sophisticated, does not mean that the Palestinians are not guilty of attempted crimes against humanity. They want to kill as many citizens as possible, and then they're using their own citizens as human shields. Yes, I feel passionate about this. And I feel passionate about the fact that that there are civilians being killed, being blown up by Israeli bombs because of Hamas. Protesters also gathered outside New York City Hall and waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans in support of Gazans. In Madrid, Spaniards assembled in front of the Israeli embassy and urged the international community to do more to stop the slaughter of innocent civilians in Gaza. Several of the demonstrations were also held in countries such as El Salvador and France to denounce the Tel Aviv regime's offensive against the blockaded Palestinian enclave. And it closes by saying Israel's unrelenting airstrikes against Gazans since July 8th have claimed the lives of 192 people, with the UN saying most of the casualties are civilians. It could be, instead of 192, it could be 100,000 if Israel was trying to destroy civilians and kill civilians. Are you aware of the fact that while this is going on, that Israel keeps power supply going into Gaza? Why? Because people need to live. And they continue to pour in humanitarian aid for the people. And the solution to the problem is for Hamas to recognize Israel and to say, we recognize you as our neighbors in the land. And the quality of life for the Palestinians living in Gaza under Hamas would be almost overnight vastly improved. And the so-called unity government is not doing anything to really improve this either. So, little history. One more question to put out. Do you believe, according to your understanding of Scripture, that the whole world will one day turn against Israel, including America? Do you believe that? I'm just curious. Do you believe that the whole world will one day turn against Israel? Do you believe that either in your gut or according to Scripture? Just give me an opinion. 866-348-7884. All right, so Israel wins in the Six-Day War in 1967 and recaptures the old city of Jerusalem. Now, there are over 600 Israeli casualties. So for a nation that small, was a devastating loss of life. And a lot of the loss of life came in recapturing the old city of Jerusalem because they did not want to harm the holy sites of both Jews and Muslims and Christians. So there was extreme care taken in the midst of the invasion. And right before the war, it looked as if Israel might go under. I didn't really have it in my focus at that time. I was, 12 years old and knew what was going on, but it happened quickly. And I just remember one of my friends, his parents were Israelis. He was born in the States. I don't think he spoke Hebrew, but they did, and they were glued. I remember going over to his house to play basketball, and they were glued to the radio, listening to the radio and listening to the news from Israel. You could see how serious, I remember the look on their face, how serious it was. But we know about the incredible victory and Six-Day War and amazing, and many say God worked miracles for Israel during that time. Well, the fact is it looked very dire before. News did not get out that quickly, and some were thinking that it could really be all over. They were, in fact, their rabbinic leaders, different ones, were trying to figure out, okay, if we have mass deaths, can we convert a park into a mass cemetery grave? And you had a lot of the survivors, Holocaust survivors, living there, terribly traumatic time. Extraordinary victory. Israel's preemptive strike completely knocks out the Egyptian Air Force, boom, gone. And all the overwhelming odds that looked to be against Israel suddenly shift. Well, the Arab League had a summit. So this is August of 1967, so just a couple months after the Six-Day War. They held a summit in Khartoum in Egypt. It was their fourth Arab League summit, and they came up with a resolution, the Khartoum Resolution, and is known as the three no's. Okay, this is what Israel's had to deal with, the three no's. Instead of saying, okay, terrible loss and war here, and let's just make peace and accept the fact Jews are going to have a homeland, we got plenty of room for ourselves, we're good. Nope, the three no's no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiations with Israel. That was the Khartoum resolution. The summit also resolved that, quote, the oil-rich Arab states give financial aid to the states who lost the war and help them rebuild their military forces. And the final communique of the meeting underscored the Palestinians' right to regain the whole of Palestine, that is, to destroy the state of Israel. So this is what Israel has been up against. Friends, that was just 1967. Many of you, if not most of you listening, you were already born at that time. This has been the reality. We'll be right back. Whole lot of ground to cover today on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's a Hebrew song, not Arabic. Hebrew song performed by Shadi al-Barini and Qasim al-Najjar, titled Strike a Blow at Tel Aviv. According to the Boston Globe, the video for the song, quote, features images of wounded Israelis and mass Qassam artillery rockets. It begins with these lyrics, strike a blow at Tel Aviv, strike a blow at Tel Aviv, strike a blow at Tel Aviv, and frighten the Zionists, and on it goes. Let me crumple that paper up and toss it. Yeah, we play these in the first hour, but let's play them again. Clips number 4 and 5, Prime Minister Netanyahu coming on national TV in America to make plain the difference, the ethical, moral difference between what Israel is doing and what Hamas is doing. I've been reporting on that for over an hour, just so much to talk about, so much that's important and relevant. So let's listen to the Israeli Prime Minister again, clip number 4.
We're targeting the rocketeers. The rocketeers are firing from homes. These homes are actually command posts of the Hamas and Islamic Jihad army. So that's where they have their secure communications, weapon caches, rockets, hidden map rooms, and so on. These are their command posts. Obviously, we're not going to give them immunity, and so we have to attack them, and we're trying to minimize, as we can, civilian casualties.
Look, you can try to paint Israel however you want to paint Israel, but with Israel's firepower, with Israel's intelligence information, with Israel's high-tech military, if Israel just wanted to inflict casualties on the Palestinians in Gaza, there would be hundreds of thousands of dead instead of several hundred dead. And in many cases, Israeli lives are lost, especially when they go in as ground forces, because of the precautions they have to take. You say, yeah, but come on, Mike, you're going to deny that Israel's been guilty of terrible things against Palestinians? What about that video of Israeli security forces or police beating to a pulp a Palestinian kid who was handcuffed, even if he was throwing rocks at them? Come on. Yeah, if that's all verified, I believe it is, but I mean, there's still investigation to find out. Of course, that's atrocious. Of course, that's horrific. You know how many Israeli voices speak out against those kinds of things? You know the fact that the nation hangs its head in shame when that happens? You know that the nation does not celebrate that? Whereas you say, yeah, but I saw a picture of people, young people, others sitting in Sderot, and they're watching as Israel is bombing Hamas, and they're sitting there eating popcorn, and they're watching and smiling, and lives are being taken. Yeah, I understand that. I do understand that. And obviously, as a follower of Jesus, that grieves me too. But let's put this in context. Someone suggested that Sderot has more bomb shelters than any other location in the world. That the people in Sderot for years and years, including old Holocaust survivors and little children, for years have had to live in such a way that often they can never be more than 15 seconds from a bomb shelter, 24/7. That's how they've had to live for years as neighbors of Hamas. So now that Israel's going in to bomb them, yeah, I could understand them sitting there eating popcorn, smiling. No, I would not do that as a follower of Jesus. I'd be praying for God's mercy in the midst of it, and for the repentance of Hamas, and for the sparing of lives. And let me say this. I think if you came back to those Israelis sitting there and said a Palestinian child was just blown up, I don't think they'd be smiling and laughing and throwing the popcorn in the air celebrating. I think they'd say it's a terrible shame, but it's on Hamas's head, which is true. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in on some questions I have been putting out. One being, do you believe scripturally that the whole world will one day turn against Israel? Would that mean also the whole world turns against Israel? Would that mean also America turning against Israel? So here's a report I just posted within the last day by Aaron Klein. It's a WorldNet Daily exclusive. Iran attempting to rearm Hamas with missiles. Amid international calls for a ceasefire, which, by the way, Israel accepted Egypt's proposal of a ceasefire, and Hamas said no way. I mean, it's almost some kind of national suicide wish. It's crazy. Amid international calls for a ceasefire, the Iranian-backed Hezbollah organization is already implementing plans to rearm Hamas and the Gaza Strip with more missiles following any truce, according to informed Middle Eastern defense officials. Israel, meanwhile, continues to its aerial offensive aimed at minimizing Hamas's rocketing capabilities as the Arab League and the European Union join other international calls for a truce. Joey, let's just play clip number five. One more word from Prime Minister Netanyahu.
When we began this interview, we were under bomb alert. And as the minutes passed, now we are being told that people can go out into the open air again. This is the kind of reality we're living in, Bob. And we'll do, as I said, whatever is necessary to put an end to this.
Yep. CNN reports the Gaza crisis. Since Hamas took over Gaza, the armed wing Qassam brigades have morphed into a military force aimed at protecting the territory. They have also continued to periodically fire rockets into Israel. The Israeli military estimated last week that Hamas and other militant groups in Gaza have between them roughly 10,000 rockets of varying ranges. A few thousand rockets kind of minimizes things, does it not? Before I go to the phones, let me make one more comment. Well, two more comments if you're tuning in late. Number one, the more I see the evil of Hamas, the more my heart goes out to the people under Hamas's control. And even those who have been brainwashed by Hamas and are part and parcel giving themselves to it. I mean, look, this notion in the report I just read, the Qassam brigades have morphed into a military force aimed at protecting the territory. They don't have to protect the territory. They don't have to protect Gaza, because Israel's not going to touch them unless they're bombing Israel. Israel's not going to touch Gaza and try to hurt the people there. In fact, Israel would gladly end the blockade if Hamas would stop trying to remove from its charter or from its philosophy the annihilation of Israel and stop trying to kill Israeli civilians, kidnap Israeli soldiers and others. So my heart goes out to the Palestinians, especially those living in Gaza, those under Hamas. And two, I'm not saying Israel's guiltless. Never saying that. I'm simply saying there is a right and a wrong in this. And Israel's on the right side, Hamas on the wrong side. All right, friends, exciting news. We got a very large purchase from a distributor of my own materials, my book, Hyper Grace, and a CD I put together called God's True Grace. With postage, the resources are over $30 and worth every penny, a 300-page book that will deepen your understanding of grace and expose the error of hypergrace, and a CD that'll really build you up and strengthen you. Well, they're available for your gift of any size. So just do whatever the Lord lays on your heart to partner with us as we are on the front lines making a difference. Here's the number to call. Again, your gift of any size for over $30 of resources. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And of course, we'll pay the postage. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us as I'm back from the Philippines, 866-34-TRUTH. I will go to your calls in a moment, but I want to raise one more question to you. A lot of talk about the immigration crisis, question about what our administration is doing to make the crisis worse, not better. Some of you think, well, look, you know, there are people who don't have the best life in Mexico. They're coming to America, and once they're here, hardworking, and, you know, it's what's the big deal? We need to open our borders. And you talk to others and say, no, it's not some simple humanitarian case like that. And you're getting criminals coming in, and you're getting people coming in that are just going to live off the government and so on. So there's a lot of discussion. But would it affect your thinking at all if you found that this was also a way that Muslim radicals are infiltrating America? You say, no, we're talking about Mexicans. Oh, so there are no Mexican Muslims? Is that what you're telling me? There are no Mexican Muslims? There are no anti-American Mexicans who've been recruited into Islam? Islam does not take Spanish-speaking people? I mean, come on, what are you talking about? And what if you were just trying to get into the States as a Muslim radical? What better entry point than as an illegal immigrant from Mexico? And yes, there are reports. I can't verify anything in detail, but there are reports of Islamic prayer cloths, prayer mats, and prayer books and things like that that have been found at various border crossings. So I wonder if that would influence your thinking that, boy, I should look more carefully at this whole immigration situation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Joe in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You have a lot to say. I was just calling in. I heard your question. You said, I guess it has to go back to the Bible, and you said that if you support Israel, that good things happen, and that I see what the part you said is like you said, and that's not if you don't support Israel, but it's if you support the other organization. But I don't believe that what you're saying is true. I believe that's part of being brainwashed. Not that you have to support the other Hamas or anything, but for someone to say, come along and say, if you don't support Israel, you're going to be cursed. Then that'd be like saying, why do you want to live in America? Don't you know this country's cursed for all the Indians they killed and the tribes that were wiped off the face of the earth? I don't agree with that at all. And it's so religious, like someone said.
Well, Joe, hang on. Do you think that there has been any judgment on America for our treatment of the Native Americans?
I really can't answer that question. You just asked the question about being
All right. Well, you okay? So what do you do with the verses where? So, Joe, what do you do with what do you do? You use the word religious and brainwash. Joe, you got to listen. If I'm going to ask you something, you got to listen. Use some pretty strong terms: brainwashed and then so religious. So when the Bible says God saying it to Abram, then repeating it to Jacob, that God will bless those who bless them, the descendants of Israel, and God will curse those who curse them. What do you make of that?
What do I make of that? I make it, like you said, I'm not for seeing the destruction of Israel or, and you said, helping them out. But I believe that we're just being locked in so much so under these conditions. We send so much money over there every year.
But hang on, Joe. I just asked you a biblical question. What do you make of those verses?
Well, I make it that again, that's the Old Testament. I don't believe you have to believe in that because it doesn't mention anything about Jesus Christ. To me, Abraham isn't my God. Jesus Christ is my God.
So Jesus is not the God of the Old Testament? So you throw out the Old Testament basically and just use the New?
I can use the New Testament. There's nothing in the New Testament where Jesus Christ comes along and said,
So when Paul says the law that comes after the promise doesn't nullify the promise, you disagree with Paul, huh? And when Jesus says that he didn't come to abolish what came before him to fulfill, you got to deal with that. Hey, Joe, I think your theology needs some work, buddy. You're from New Jersey. I can talk straight to you. Don't throw out the Old Testament.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, give me your opinion on this. I got any builders, architects out there? Give me your opinion on this. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. And our caller from New Jersey was quite blunt and talked about people being brainwashed, talked about it being religious, to quote an Old Testament text saying, don't have to believe in that. He doesn't see Jesus there. He doesn't need the God of the Old Testament, to paraphrase. Hence my strong words to him that his theology needs some work. So help me out here. Somebody help me out. If you're an architect or builder, okay, you build a house, all right? You build a house, and the house is going to have two stories. So you put your foundation in, then you build your first story, then you build the second story. So you get your first floor, your second floor, right? Now when you're finished with the second floor, can you just eliminate the first floor? Ah, you see where I'm going. No, you don't eliminate the first floor. If you eliminate the first floor, what happens to the second floor? It collapses. It doesn't just drop. It collapses because it was built on the first floor. And let's go further. How deep was the foundation? How strong was the foundation? That's as high as the building can go or the house can go. This notion, you just cut out the Old Testament and just use the new. The new fulfills what's written in the old. The new brings to conclusion what starts there. The new is built on what's in the old. And even the idea that the Old Testament versus the New Testament, some dichotomy or one's old, one's new. No, these are the scriptures, the Hebrew and Greek scriptures. All right. And rather than even distinguish it, you know, the old versus the new, even that can be misleading and is not something done completely within the Bible itself. Galatians 3, Paul explains that the law, which was given 430 years after the promise, what promise? The promise that God would give the land of Israel to Abraham and his seed, that the law which was given after cannot nullify the promise. So under the Sinai covenant, there were new conditions, and God dealt with Israel based on those conditions, but he still gave a promise which it's up to him to keep. Hey, feel free to agree with me or differ. That's fine. I just want to tell you plainly that if you're going to be blunt with me, I'll still be respectful. I'll be blunt back. All right. You know, I'm a New Yorker too. Even though I haven't lived in New York City, was born in New York City, raised in Long Island, haven't lived in the New York area for quite a few years, I'm still a New Yorker at heart in many ways. I'll always be respectful, but you want to be blunt? I'll be blunt back. You know, different news outlets, BBC and others, you know, Hamas, just have their homemade rockets and things like that. And Israel's sophisticated missiles and armory. And I understand that. Israel comes in with their air force. Israel comes in with its precise technology. I fully understand that. But Israel has not launched an aggressive war against Hamas. Israel is defending its borders. So here, we live in America now, all right? Let's think this through. 70% of our nation, 70%, about 225 million Americans are in range. Let's just say that there were terrorist enclaves in Mexico and Canada. And the governments of Mexico and Canada supported the annihilation of America. All right? This is a hypothetical. Like, oh, I didn't hear that. No, this is a hypothetical. All right? They supported that. And... we are, our whole nation, 75% of the people, 225 million Americans, within range of their rockets and having to run into bomb shelters. As I'm doing the radio broadcast, three times we've had to, you know, stop to run into bomb shelters. That's the reality of the situation, right? And who are they bombing? Who are they trying to bomb in Mexico and Canada? Again, according to my hypothetical, they're trying to bomb anybody, kill anybody. Whoever they, civilians, doesn't matter. Men, women, children, they're going to celebrate that. And this is going on, unprovoked. And then we've got some of our folks, say, in Mexico, and they kidnap them and murder in cold blood some of our teenagers. We're not going to fight back. Well, look, we go around the world to fight perceived enemies of America. whether you agree with that or not, we do that. We do that. You think if we're being attacked day and night here that we're not going to defend ourselves? And then what if our enemies camp out, they take over a hospital, and they put all their rockets in there, and they still get sick in there, but they put all their rocket launchers there, and they have their intelligence there, and they in people's homes and schools, they're launching rockets and attacking. And we're saying, look, leave the area. We're sending out pamphlets. We're sending out word, leave the area. We're going to be bombing there. Leave the area. And then the leaders of Mexico and Canada, again, according to my hypothetical, say, no, come back, because the moment you leave, they're going to bomb your home. They're going to bomb your home because a terrorist put bombs in your home. They put rockets in your home, and Israel's going to take them out. In this case, in my hypothetical, America's going to take them out. You think we're just going to sit back? And then you add to it, now you have, now let's switch this, because America's massively bigger than Mexico and Canada in terms of total population. But now you go to Israel. Yeah, Israel's equipped and armed, but Israel's surrounded by hostility. Bombs came in from Lebanon. Just read a report of an Israeli killed by a mortar strike. Israel is doing its best to preserve civilian lives. I use this analogy in the first hour. Let's say that someone breaks into your home. Why? Because they hate you. And they want to murder you. Let's say you're a married man with three children, and they want to murder you and your family in cold blood. They're going to butcher you. The only weapons they have, though, they have some butter knives, they have some steak knives, they have some forks, they have some baseball bats. Those are the only weapons they have. And they want to murder you in cold blood because they don't like you as their neighbors. They break in the home. You hear one of your kids screaming after being stabbed with a steak knife. You happen to be a policeman. You have a gun by your bedside. You jump up. You confront them. There are three of them. You kill them all as they come diving at you and your kids with the weapons they have. Do you think there's going to be this whole scenario? But yeah, I mean, look, the poor guys, they didn't have. This guy had a gun. And these guys, all they have is steak knife, butter knife, fork, baseball bat. I mean, they weren't well-equipped. They're trying to murder people. They don't have to be well-equipped. They don't have a right to be well-equipped, and they're trying to murder people. Dennis Prager, townhall.com, has this article, The Jewish State in a Morally Sick World. Let's drop the names Hamas and Israel and make a list of the characteristics of two imaginary warring entities. We'll call them Entity A and Entity B. Entity A declares that its reason for existence is to annihilate Entity B, sends missiles to explode in the most populated parts of Entity B in order to kill as many civilians as possible, uses families and individual civilians as human shields to protect its own leaders from attack, tortures and kills domestic political opponents, has no political or religious freedom, and has no freedom of speech, press, or assembly, and no independent judiciary. It's a theocracy. Violently opposes gays, saturates its education and airways with a demonic hatred of Entity B. Rated a 6 by Freedom House in its report, 2013 report on freedom in the world, 7 is the worst possible rating. Entity A ranks 6 in freedom, 6 in civil liberties, and 6 political rights. Entity B recognizes the right of Entity A to an independent existence, has never begun a war with Entity A, has never targeted civilians in Entity A. In fact, it has sacrificed soldiers in order to avoid killing Entity A civilians. Domestic political opponents, including even supporters of Entity A, not only have freedom of assembly, press, and expression, they have political parties with representatives in Entity B's parliament. Has freedom of the press, assembly, religion, and a completely independent judiciary, allows gays full civil rights, has innumerable human rights groups dedicated to the welfare of people belonging to Entity A, has no education or broadcast comparable to the Daily Hate in Entity A. Freedom House rating for 2014 is 1.5 in freedom, 1 is best, 2 in civil liberties, 1 in political liberties. So then, with which entity does nearly every government in the world side? And Prager says Entity A. That's the sick, crazy thing of siding with Hamas. Very well expressed and well done, Dennis Prager. I've been looking during breaks at this YouTube from Egypt. Here, Egyptian TV hosts, they're saying, look, the gentleman I'm looking at now is saying, Israel is attacking our people in Gaza, and you know, we basically need to do something about it. But look, there's a big difference between Hamas and the Palestinian people. And he said Hamas has got these crazy political and religious views. The forcing the Gaza Strip and its people, as well as the entire Arab nation in its entirety, forcing them to pay a very steep price in fragmentation, in humiliation, in martyrs, unfortunately, in bloodshed in vain, with no prospects for victory. I'm reading this off the screen here from this Egyptian TV host. We pray for Allah to bestow upon the Hamas leaders a bit of common sense. Look, they see what they're doing is suicide. So they'll get a grasp on religion and good of our people. Here's an Egyptian TV host slamming Hamas. There are other Palestinian leaders now saying, come on, this is crazy. To Hamas, what are you doing?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And in the midst of all of this, Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan accuses Israel of state terrorism. Just a reminder, Egypt brokered a ceasefire deal. Israel said yes, even though in my mind, Israel would not have said yes because Israel has far more damage it needs to do to Hamas to basically assure that Hamas does not continue in its murderous ways. And I pray for mercy in the midst of this because these are lives being taken, people for whom Jesus died, people loved by God, trapped in the lives of radical Islam and trapped under Hamas and poor leadership decisions of its government officials. I would have thought Israel would say no. Israel said yes. Hamas said no. Israel, actually, not only do they send out pamphlets saying we're going to bomb, there are rockets in your neighborhood that Hamas is firing, we're going to bomb, so get out. They actually drop empty shells. The Israeli military said that they drop empty shells on roofs of homes. They call it roof knocking to say, hey, we're going to bomb. Airstrikes are coming. Get out. Get out. You say, yeah, but the homes are blown up. The homes are blown up, and that's Hamas's responsibility. And let me take this further. If Hamas put down its murderous intents towards Israel and Palestinian leadership said, we are true peace partners, let's work this out, the quality of life of the people living in Gaza would skyrocket with the help of Israel. Let me try to grab one more call. Let's go to Fresno, California. Is it Baco or Baco?
It's Baco.
Baco. Well, thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah. So basically, I'm calling as an Armenian, and one of the things that the Armenian community has experienced, just like the Jewish community, is a systematic slaughter of their people during the early 20th century, and late 19th. And 3 million Christians during the Ottoman Empire were killed under the guise of World War One. But during this time, many Jewish and different Turkish, German peoples supported Turkey in its killing of the Armenian people. And then just like during the Israeli Revolution in 1948, when Israel defended itself against against the onslaught, Armenians went back and brutally fought against different parts in Asia Minor, where they had been settled for thousands of years. They fought against the Turks, and essentially what I want to get at is Armenians have historically loved the Israeli people. They've loved the Jewish people, and they've been friends with them, and Jews have lived for a while. There's been very little anti-Semitism in Armenia until recently under Soviet guise, when Soviet propaganda against Israel and Judaism or so-called Jewry arrived. And so a lot of Soviet Armenians have this anti-Jewish sentiment that I've noticed growing up here in the West, which is a complete lie, of course. But how do you say the best approach the Armenian community and even maybe other communities that have experienced, you know, systematic slaughters.
In talking about approaching
it from a gospel standpoint, especially to people who are just nominal Christians, claim to be Christian,
right.
but it yeah, don't I, understand.
Yeah, I, it's some an of the important. It's an important question, and I want to tell you up front that I am somewhat ignorant of the history in terms of the relationship with Israel and the Jewish people, and how Israel has or the Jewish people have stood with or have not stood with the Armenian people. Of course, we know the horrific suffering that has been endured by the Armenians in recent history, in particular in the last 100-plus years. But just to answer generically, and then I'm going to make a note to look into this a little bit more, because off the top of my head, I'm not sufficiently familiar. To whatever extent you can find that place of solidarity and say, hey, look at how we were slaughtered and the world stood by. Look at how we suffered and the world stood by. The same with Israel. You know, start there, because that's an obvious touch point of reality. And then a second thing is, to whatever extent you have been victims of media lies, mass lies about you, because for some people to turn against another people and slaughter hundreds of thousands or millions, there have to be some type of lies that have been spread.
Yeah.
So to whatever extent you can say, hey, look, remember what was said about us? Remember this? Remember that? Well, look at what's being said about Jews. Look about what's being said at Israel. Do you think there's a connection there? And if, to the extent they look at that, then they step back and can understand it. And then just to say from a biblical viewpoint, hey, look at this. Do you think there's something to it? Do you think there's something to God giving promises and keeping those? Why do you think the Jews have been kept all these years, scattered around the world, or regathered? Do you think it could be because God's overseeing history? And then through there, it's a great way to show them the relevance of Scripture and to preach the gospel. But, sir, thank you for the call. I'm out of time. I've got to run. But I will look at this a little bit more and round out this blind spot that I have in terms of that relationship in recent history. But thank you, sir, for the call very much. Joe, I won't get to that last clip. But let's just understand that right now, even though there are protests against Israel, they are mainly Muslim protests in different cities. They're ugly, potentially deadly, violent, absolutely, but not the same level, at least at this point, of widespread protest against Israel when they had Operation Cast Lead and went in to stop Gaza, to stop Hamas after thousands of rockets had been rained on Israel over a period of years. It could well be, again, because of the rise of radical Islam. People realize Hamas is part of this. It could be because the Muslim world is not even united with Hamas at this point. And it could be because of the blatant nature of some of Hamas's early actions. Yes, Israel committed an atrocity, or Jews within Israel kidnapping and murdering a Palestinian teen. There was national revulsion to that. And the footage of security forces or police beating up, severely beating a handcuffed Palestinian boy. Revulsion over that. Israel's certainly not guiltless, but people recognize, hey, Hamas is not the entity we want to be siding with. May God break that power of evil so that there can be liberty for the people, both of Israel and the Palestinians. Friends, if you didn't hear the announcement earlier, we got a large purchase of my books, Hyper Grace, and a special CD, God's True Grace, which is not available to the general public. A $30 value for these resources that will, boy, they'll open up the Word to you and minister grace and show you what God's grace is, and then show you the error of hyper grace. Great resources we've put out by God's grace. We got a large purchase, so your gift of any size, just pray. Whatever God lays on your heart, you're able to do to stand with us. I want to send out these two resources to you, and we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in the midst of the chaos and conflict in the Middle East, don't just look to the news. Look to the Word for clarity.